directly. Again, this presentation is from the same study as what Dr. Hugh Klein just presented on. And the title of my presentation is Factors Associated with Anal Sex Involving Internal Ejaculation in Men Who Have Sex with Men and Who Use the Internet to Find Partners for Unprotected Sex. We have no relationships to disclose. I would like to acknowledge, however, I was fortunate enough to gain travel assistance from the University of South Florida College of Public Health through a SHARP award and also a travel award from my department. By way of background in this paper, little is known and little has been published about men who have sex with men and sex that leads to ejaculation but does not entail internal ejaculation, and the difference between sex acts that do and those that do not involve ejaculating inside of a partner. Many researchers and interventionists seem to assume incorrectly that unprotected sex brought to completion almost always entails ejaculating inside of a partner. This presentation focuses on just how common it is for one specific population of MSM to engage in sex in which internal ejaculation is involved. We also examine the factors associated with more versus less internal ejaculation. Our focus is not on MSM in general, but rather on the subpopulation of MSM who use the internet specifically to seek partners with whom they can engage in unprotected sex. Our four research questions are: one, what proportion of the time does anal sex involve the use of condoms? Two, what proportion of the time does anal sex result in internal ejaculation? Three, to what extent does involvement in internal ejaculation during anal sex correspond to the practice of other high-risk sexual behaviors? And four, what factors are associated with the practice of internal ejaculation during anal sex? Again, the methods are the same as the previous presentation, so I won't repeat them here. However, please note the different sample size. The Barrett Project had a total sample size of 332 men. The sample size was reduced to 292 men by only including the men who had sex prior in the prior 30 days. And then our final sample in this paper is 273, which included the men who had anal sex in the prior 30 days, who had the possibility of either giving or receiving ejaculate internally or both. Again, the characteristics are about similar. The average age for men in this paper is 43 years. Again, there's a nice age distribution above and below the mean. A little more than 70% of the men were white, with about 10% for being both African-American or Latino. And again, more than 50% had at least an undergraduate education. The first set of results we present looked at condom use and internal ejaculation during anal sex by sexual role. We classified men into the three traditional sexual roles for MSM: insertive only, commonly referred to as TOPS; insertive and receptive, commonly referred to as versatile men; and receptive only, commonly referred to as bottoms. If you notice the second line of the table, you can see that about half of all anal sex acts involved internal ejaculation. This may be lower than what many people may expect, but it is still a high percentage considering the transmission risk involved. And bottoms are more likely than versatile or top men to have sex involving internal ejaculation. If you look at the bottom line of the table, you will see this is especially true for HIV-positive men. This really is a concern for such individuals, and intervention efforts really need to work with these men to find acceptable ways to diminish their risk. Our second set of results, we present the relationship of having anal sex involving internal ejaculation to involvement in other high-risk sex practices. This table is continued into the next screen due to the number of risky sexual practices we analyzed. In summary, internal ejaculation is related, albeit inconsistently, with other types of HIV risk practices. It is part of a total risk involvement package, and it in itself is a behavior that must be addressed if HIV risk is to be diminished in this population. In all instances, the direction was in the way expected. More risk was related to more internal ejaculation. If you look at the column on the right, you can tell by the statistical significance which risk behaviors were related to internal ejaculation, and they are: the percent of all sex acts involving internal percent of all oral sex acts involving internal ejaculation, the number of times engaging in felching, the number of times engaging in snowballing, the number of recent sex partners, the percent of all sex acts involving the use of protection, not caring about HIV serostatus of prospective sex partners, and the number of drug problems experienced during the previous month. The final set of results we present are the multivariate factors associated with internal ejaculation during anal sex. If you notice the first line, attitudes toward condom use are the best indicator we have about how likely men are to have sex involving internal ejaculation. The more favorable men's attitudes towards condoms were, the fewer the number of times they reported engaging in sex involving internal ejaculation. On the second line, you can see that using the internet to find bareback sex partners is also associated with more internal ejaculation. Increasingly, evidence is telling us that the internet is being used unwisely by MSM, and scholars and interventionists need to be creative in figuring out how to harness its effects for good and not just for bad. On the third line, you can see that when people trust what they read in online profiles, they are more likely to have sex involving internal ejaculation. Intervention efforts must address the truthfulness or lack thereof in online profiles, and they should reinforce various methods of enhancing communication between potential sex partners. And on the last line, you can see that knowing people who died from AIDS is associated with less sex involving internal ejaculation. And unfortunately, there are many HIV positive and people living with AIDS out there. If intervention projects avail themselves of these individuals' experiences, there may be hope for reducing HIV risk among MSM. Having gone through the results, I will now spend some time to discuss our conclusions. The research has shown that HIV-positive men who engage in unprotected sex may be of particular concern to HIV prevention and intervention professionals, because they engaged in protected sex only about 10% of the time, can pass HIV on to their HIV-negative partners, or pass a different strain of HIV to their HIV-positive partners. They themselves can become reinfected with a new strain of HIV and can acquire other STIs. HIV-positive men who actively seek partners online for unprotected sex need targeted educational efforts about the riskiness of their sexual practices, even though they already have HIV. However, mitigating this concern somewhat, about half of the anal sex acts in this study did not culminate in internal ejaculation. If men opt for pre-ejaculatory withdrawal, they can decrease their chances for contracting or transmitting HIV. Although penile withdrawal prior to internal ejaculation does not equal safer sex, it could equate to harm reduction. This could be a step forward health-wise for men who switch from ejaculating internally to withdrawing. However, when done out of ignorance, this behavior is of concern and one that needs attention in intervention and education efforts targeting MSM. Internal ejaculation was related inconsistently with other HIV risk transmission, high risk behaviors. That this relationship is not stronger and more consistent is the main surprise of this finding. In all instances in which an association between internal ejaculation and other HIV risk practices was observed, it was always in the expected direction, that is, greater internal ejaculation equaled greater risk involvement. We need to learn much more about the types of risk practices that co-occur and why they tend to co-occur, as well as the reasons that other risk behaviors do not tend to co-occur. Four factors were identified as contributing uniquely and significantly to the proportion of all anal sex acts involving internal ejaculation. The first one was the number of people known who died from AIDS. Second, relying on the internet to identify potential sex partners. Three, the perceived accuracy of HIV information in the online profiles of prospective sex partners. And four, attitudes towards condom use. And together, these four factors explained 18% of the total variance. And each of these factors deserves brief discussion. The more people a man knew who died from AIDS, the less likely he was to engage in anal sex involving internal ejaculation. This finding suggests that interventionists targeting MSM who seek unprotected sex online might wish to consider personalized HIV intervention approaches that put their target population into direct contact with people living with AIDS. The former can learn from the latter just what living with AIDS means and just what it entails, and that in turn may very well lead some of these men to reduce their involvement in risky practices. The more that men reported relying upon the internet to identify potential sex partners with whom they could engage in unprotected sex, the more frequently they reported engaging in anal sex involving internal ejaculation. The main implication for HIV prevention and intervention workers targeting MSM is that special efforts need to be made to reach men who spend more time online searching for sex partners for unprotected sex to reduce their risk for acquiring or transmitting HIV. The more accurate men perceived other men's online profiles to be with regard to the information they contain about the poster's HIV sero status, the more internal ejaculation they reported during anal sex. It is interesting to note that this measure of perceived accuracy of online HIV sero status information has proven itself study-wide to be one of the more consistently and strongly predictive measures of risk in this population. Additional research is needed to this understudied topic. And more needs to be done to educate men about just how truthful online profiles are and are not. The more favorable men's attitudes towards condom use were, the less often they engaged in anal sex involving internal ejaculation. However, men with the most positive attitudes toward using condoms engaged in anal sex involving internal ejaculation more than a third of the time. In other analyses conducted by Dr. Klein and I, attitudes towards condom use have been identified as the single strongest predictor of involvement in risky sexual practices among men in this population. Finding ways to convince men engaging in anal sex involving internal ejaculation to use condoms more frequently, or in the alternative to withdraw the penis, or to encourage their sex partners to do so prior to internal ejaculation is key here to improving the sexual health of these men. One way would be to help these men incorporate condom use into erotic and fun sexual activities. However, changing attitudes toward using condoms is likely to be a very challenging process, though particularly in this population of men who actively seek unprotected sex online. And with that, I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Dr. Klein.